All right, our next storyteller. In 2017, she moved to the Driftless for her job as a professor in the Environmental Studies program at UWL. In this first week of the semester this fall, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Now that the tumor has been removed and there is no more cancer in sight, she is hoping to ski her seventh Birkebeiner in February. The title of her story is called Tangled Up in Blue. Please welcome Margo Higgins.
I'd like to dedicate this story to two of our community members who can't be here tonight, Tamsin Morgan and Susan Nesbitt, who actually helped start this event many years ago, and all the other surrogate mamas and sisters out there. I was born blue. I took my first breath after my mother, Margot, took her last. I was premature, and so I spent my first 3 weeks in an incubator being fed by tubes instead of the umbilical cord of my mother. In 1974, 449 women in this country died in childbirth, and I was one of those motherless children. My father remarried right away. As the story goes, he met my stepmother on Valentine's Day. She was a kindergarten teacher and a part-time model, and also had a damaged heart. Her father left her family when she was 12. She never got over that anger. She blamed her mother for his departure and failure to ever return to his family. So I grew up pretty blue. I was pretty sad as a little girl. I felt disconnected and lonely. So I sought vibrancy in other spaces, in other relationships. I jumped at the opportunity to go to boarding school, went to college in Maine, moved to Idaho the day I graduated, and then to Bozeman, Montana. And during that chapter, when I was 27 years old, I became an orphan. My father had a massive heart attack, and I knew he also died of a broken heart that he never mended. And I was crushed because he was a really, really wonderful father who just showed me that unconditional love I knew I probably was not going to find again. He would beam when I'd come home from school. He followed me all over the world, to Ireland and London and East Africa. He taught me how to ski. He showed up at my first ski races in my 20s, and I cried when I crossed the finish line, just realizing how special he was. So I lived in that fog for a number of years, and a friend at the time, an older friend, said, you got to learn how to sit with that pain because it will pass. And it did. I spent a winter season in Yellowstone in that powdery white landscape, trekking lynx, looking at lynx distribution and abundance in that park, and I traveled to Alaska for the first time. I just spent my 21st anniversary there this past summer, and in that place, I had my first experience teaching college students in the backcountry, and fell in love with that work and that place, and pursued a PhD in California and returned there to do my dissertation work for many years. And the day after I wrapped up my field work, I had three grand mal seizures And fortunately, I was 5 minutes from UCSF, and they ran a bunch of tests, a CAT scan and an MRI and an angiogram, to find a tangle of extra arteries in my brain. And so that launched a long healing process that brought in a lot of support, especially from my graduate community. My professors were wonderful. My friends, like, strung together meals for weeks on end, stayed with me, stayed in my bed with me. It was really precious. Where am I? I knew this would happen. So I healed, and I actually I healed really. It coincided with my move here. I have been teaching UWL now for 9 years, and as I forgot, I had written up in my my intro, the first week of the semester this year, I learned that I have breast cancer, and it came as a shock. I had no idea what my treatment plan was going to look like. At first, I thought, oh, lumpectomy surgery sucks. I've had it before, but it'll be over and done with. No. This past week, visited the Mayo Clinic for my 25th time. In that time, I have had friends show up from every single corner of my life. Going back to my kindergarten class in New York City, friends from middle school, high school, college, Idaho, both communities I lived in Montana, California, everyone has shown up in really different ways, and it's been just so wonderful to let myself be held in that space. On my 19th appointment, I think this was 11, I had a genetic test, and I learned I don't have any genetic markers, and I was just ecstatic. And my friend Tommy, who's here somewhere, said, I think you have the cancer glow. I was like, what? I think I do. And yeah, that glow has come back. But on visit 19th, I had a lumpectomy, and I had been told, everyone's got their cancer story, and I'd been told, after your lumpectomy, you feel like it's gone. You just feel this amazing space. So I was expecting that cancer glow, and I asked the surgeon, is it gone? And she said, I can't tell you that. And the other thing they didn't fully explain is that my urine was going to turn a blue raspberry shade of Gatorade. I won't tell you the other thing it looked like, but I was just like flushing this blue fluid out of my body, and I realized actually I was kind of flushing the disease away. I learned a week later that there is no cancer in the margins that they took out during the surgery, and there isn't any cancer in the lymph nodes, which is how it travels to the rest of your body. And so I had another burst of excitement. And in fact, Susan Nesbitt and I dressed up as boobies for Halloween, and I wore one very proudly that said, squeeze me, I'm cancer-free. And it actually had like a squeaking device on it. I wore it to Frankie's birthday. And so I've had these multiple glows. And this past week, I met with the oncologist for the first time, and she said, you are the best cancer case I've seen in 10 years. I have this like really particular tubular feature that is very rare and also very easy to treat. So I learned that, and I learned that I'm gonna start radiation this week instead of needing 19 appointments like they told me initially. I will get it done in a week and 5 visits to the Mayo Clinic. So I'm just so grateful, and I'm gonna borrow a quote from W.S. Merwin. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. It was passed on to me by a woman in this room, and it goes something like this. The absence of my parents has threaded through me, like has threaded through a needle. this is where I want to look it up on my cell phone in my back pocket, but I'm not going to. It has shaped the texture of my life, but I think it's also expanded my measuring stick for what is also really connected and loving and joyful. I know that, and that's shown up through so many of my relationships. And so now when I think back to those first few weeks in the incubator, I realized I was being held so tenderly by the people that work in neonatal care. And I'm just like so touched by that. And I think one of the biggest lessons for me in all of this has been to learn how to love harder, because I've been loved beyond what I could possibly have imagined. And so for me, that's the charm in this tangle that I continue to live. Thank you.